Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody in that room felt like this was the right thing to do for college football, but there were some hang-ups in there because there were some people in the room who wanted to tie this conversation to try to use it as some leverage for 2026 and beyond, because this is a very divisive issue for the future of the college football playoff in terms of automatic qualifiers. The SEC and the Big Ten want guaranteed spots. Well, how many do they get? Do they get four? What does that mean for the ACC and the Big 12? Those are the conversations that are going on. And there were people in the room who said, hey, if you want to do what's right for college football now, let's tie it into the big picture and make sure that we're doing the same thing for 2026 and beyond.
It's Heather Dinch on the college football playoff change. Heather Dinch with Pat McAfee. College football, after 1 year in the new expanded format, changes its format, just seeding straight 1 through 12. No more automatics. They learned that lesson after 1 year. NFL talked about it, did not make changes. NHL, every year, the format looks to be a little bit silly, but here's college football 1 year in, making a change. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out on vacation this week. Just me, Jeremy, hanging with you. You can give us a ring, 803-0550. Dave Buchanan coming up with a quick Bandits preview in a couple minutes here, maybe about 10 minutes for Dave Buchanan. The Bandits are home tomorrow, 4:30. Sold out game three of the NLL Finals and looking for a third straight championship. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, 7:30. Matt Perino at 8. Ian Harditz at 9. Plenty of time for your phone calls mixed in as well. Good morning. 803-0550 is the number. Open up the show talking about the next most important Bills player. We all know who number one is, right? Right. Josh Allen. After that, for this year, for the team that is favored to win every game, which they are favored to win every game they are in, as of right now, who's the second most important player? There's a good list of names who would be eligible for this. Maybe by the time we get to the end of the season, we could say who ended up being, although maybe we should try that exercise on last year, like who ended up being there, who was their second most important player last year? We could do that. 803-0550, the phone number, 1-888-550-2550. On your second most important Bills player. I mentioned, I think there is a tier of three guys in there. Rousseau, Benford, Dawkins. Had a call on Joey Bosa, which I think is an interesting answer because putting a newcomer in that spot, I get it. That does make sense to me because what you're looking for is last year's Bills team, but with someone else to pop, whoever that might be, someone else to be a difference maker, and Bosa is on a short list of players that they've added you might be able to expect that from. So we'll go to the phones. Ryan in Buffalo is next up. Hey, Ryan, good morning.
Hey, guys. My answer to your question first would be Dawkins, but I was calling about playoff format. So this can apply to any sport, but like thinking of the NFL, like everything is a spectacle, and I love it. Like we all consume the NFL draft stuff, the NFL schedule stuff, or even like the NHL, like the lottery show, or college football, who's in, who's out show. So for playoffs, there's both a practical side and then the spectacle side. I think that once the seeding is assigned for really any sport, the top seed should have to pick who they play first, and then the second seed should have to pick who they play. And down you go.
Yep.
And that could be a show on its own too. But, you know, on the practical side of that, there's so many times where a team will have like a starting quarterback out for six games, and then all of a sudden they're the last seed in. And it's like, well, great, we just had an awesome season. Now we're forced to play the bottom seed, who's probably the second best team. So I think it would just be fun, and I think it would add competition to all the sports and add another, spectacle to it.
One question for you, Ryan. Why do you think leagues don't go to this? Because it's been an idea out there, and some of the, lesser-known leagues do this. The only drawback, I think we would, you and I would guess, would be the bulletin board material. But would a league not do it just because of that, or they feel like it's a hassle? Like, what is the case against it?
Well, that's probably it. That's why I'm saying it has to be mandatory. So the bulletin board material, I think, would be the answer to that. But if the league made it mandatory, then it couldn't be bulletin board material because you have to do it. No one's saying, like, well, you can pick or you can just You know, you have to.
Right. Yeah, that'd be different. Thanks, Ryan. If it's either here's your matchup or if you'd like to swoop in and change it. Yeah, there's a default matchup and there's the right to switch. All right. That's interesting. You pick your opponent or here's a right to switch if you want to, you know, use this card. Any team that maybe that's something they should give to the 2 seed. The 1 seed gets the bye, the 2 seed picks its first round opponent. Because what you would like is, I mean, I miss the days of the 2 seed getting a bye, mainly because the Bills are always the 2 seed, right? Like how many years in a row? The 2 seed has not won the Super Bowl, is that right, since the invention of the single first round bye? What were the Eagles last year? Should I remember this? NFL playoff picture last year. I gotta pull it up. But the 2 seed, you know, we used to be resting that 2 seed. And unfortunately, the Bills started to get the 2 seed right as that went away. I don't know how they're going to bring it back. If they had an 18th game, are they going to add another team and have 8 teams in the playoffs? Because you could try to do that. 803-0550, our phone number. But the numbers of that would still be goofy unless you're going to go 3 first-round buys. And I've got 3 teams in the first round and 6 teams in the second. So am I going to 9 playoff teams to get 3 buys? I like the buy. The buy is always something that, you know, it's nice to see teams that are the best get rewarded. And maybe this is the year for the Bills to get it. And we're glad that there's no buy for the 2 seed. That'll be the Bills' luck, right? The NFL reintroduces the buy for the 2 seed. And that year, the Bills get the 1. And whoever the 2 is gets a rest that the Bills would have gotten in all these years. Ron in Pittsburgh. Hey, Ron. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joe. How are you today?
Doing good.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, football format. So let's take the NFL. If you have a bottom-ranked team, if you're 8 and you're playing number 1 or whatever the numbers are, right? If that number 8 beats number 1, I think they should take over that number 1 spot. That would make those games so much more exciting. They don't have a home game scheduled, but if they beat a number 1, their next game's at home.
Yeah. So if the 2 and the 7 play, the 7 wins, the 7 takes the 2 seed.
Absolutely.
All right, transferable seeds. Yeah. It's one thing. Thanks, Ron. There are some leagues. I mean, the NCAA tournament is like this, right? The lower seed wins. They don't immediately get punished to go play the highest seed, and that is something that happens in the NFL. If the 7 knocks off the 2, that 7 has to go on the road immediately and play the 1. And I guess, what's the argument there? The argument there is if you are – your first-round matchups are – I'm sorry for the numbers here – 2-7 and 3-6. If you're the 3 and you win your game as you're supposed to, but the 7 wins, should you be punished and have to go on the road to play that 7 seed that has taken the 2? That might be a tough sell for people. Mark in Tonawanda. Hey, Mark.
Morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Mark.
I disagree with the last card. Deion Dawkins, I think Josh Allen covers, you know, a multitude of those offensive line woes when Spencer Brown was out. The offense didn't seem to really miss a beat, and that's because, you know, we got the best quarterback in the league. But I would say Ed Oliver is number 2, and with all the moves they've made on the defensive side of the ball coming into this season, that whole group's been bolstered, and I just think it's time for Ed Oliver to make a huge play in one of these playoff games or – and just step up and have them listen to you. Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
Thanks, Mark. He's one of the ones you would hope would have a bounce-back season. I don't know that he had a bad season, but, you know, were there enough game-changing plays? Oliver, I mean, it's funny. Like, the timeline of expectations and the timeline of, you know, when you sign. Oliver signs that extension, immediately has an incredible year. We're all thinking, like, wow, what? Thank goodness they signed him. Because he just had his best year. And then the year after, it's not quite as good. So it's interesting. The Eagles were the number 2 seed last year. So a 2 seed has indeed won a Super Bowl since losing the bye. They, of course, beat the Packers, then the Rams, and then the Commanders on the way to winning the Super Bowl over the Chiefs. So 2 seed gets it done. 803-0550. Oliver, not a bad name here. We'll talk to Joe Marino about his full list of the top 10 most important bills. His was for the future, not necessarily just for this year, which is why James Cook did not make the list ultimately. So we'll talk about that with Joe Marino coming up at the bottom of the hour. Joe of the Locked On Bills podcast. Had to shuffle on a couple days. Usually we talk on Wednesdays. He's jumping in today. Joining us on the Western Hotline, Dave Buchanan, as the Bandits get set for their championship parade, their championship victory. It's game three of the NLL Finals tomorrow, 4:30 at KeyBank Center. Bukes, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm all right. Nerves, or is this normal for Bandit Land, right? I mean, a championship game, winner take all, at home, sold out arena. Like, this is how the Bandits roll these days.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually going to be the fourth NLL season in a row where the NLL champions, the NLL Cup, is going to be handed out in Buffalo in 2022 with Colorado winning in Game 3. But the last 2 years, Buffalo has clinched the Cup on the home turf here at KeyBank Center, and it looks like the lacrosse gods wanted to do it one more time this year.
How quickly, Dave, did you, and not that the Bandits themselves would do this, but how quickly was it an easy adjustment to, all right, they lost game two. They were winning, and kind of late in that game, they had a chance to close that out. They did not ultimately win. And to come back home to the arena, you know, it's an easy justification. It's kind of a conversation people have every single year when you have the opportunity to close at home. Was it a quick and easy kind of transition there?
I think so. I mean, this the way the schedule worked out, where that you had this week off between games two and three, is, you know, kind of standard practice in the National Lacrosse League. So I'm sure these guys maybe, you know, spent the flight home Monday thinking about it, and then probably started reviewing film Tuesday, Wednesday, and they'll practice tonight. So they'll be fully focused and locked in on game three tomorrow.
Game three tomorrow against Saskatchewan. What about this matchup, Dave, are people watching for? Like, if you're going to be at the game or watching or listening, what is it about Saskatchewan that makes them tough?
I think it's a very evenly matched series, and really what it's come down to, I think, is the team that has made the least amount of mistakes and missed the least amount of shots that has come out on top through these first two games. So I think you just got to watch, you know, which team doesn't mess up as much. I think Buffalo really needs to come out of the box fast tomorrow, though. You know, both games so far this series, they've gotten down 2-0, 3-0, and have had to spend a good chunk of the first half playing from behind. And I think with this home crowd and with the nerves that come along with game three, if they get down 2-0, 3-0 tomorrow, you know, the KeyBank Center crowd will be quieted pretty quickly. So I think they need to come out strong, make a statement, and get the fans into it to really, you know, get this thing back on track.
Dave, do you get the impression, you know, we could make this comparison to any sport here, really, where you have a chance to go for your third in a row. On one hand, there's potentially the pressure of, you know, in your own sport, going for dynasty status, like legend immortality, versus you've done it a bunch, so you don't get caught up in how important a game might be.
Yeah, I think the Bandits have done a pretty good job about it. I mean, they haven't talked about it a ton this season, about the whole three-peat thing. We've heard it a little bit maybe from John Tavares, but the players have not made a big deal about it this year, I don't think, in my opinion. And I think that is one advantage the Bandits do have, is they are the veteran team that has been to the last five finals, whereas Saskatchewan, you know, this group, at least altogether, it's their first time in the finals. They've got some guys with some finals appearances, you know, like a guy like Robert Church, who was with the Rush the last time they went to the finals in 2018. So I think that is in the Bandits' favor. And I think we saw a little bit of that game one, whereas Buffalo kind of went 10 rounds in game one, and Saskatchewan kind of petered out there towards the end of that opening game. And I think that chalked that up to that finals experience.
One thing that happened in game two there, talking with Dave Buchanan, sideline reporter for the Bandits, back-to-back champs going for number three tomorrow at KeyBank Center for a sold-out crowd. One thing we saw in game two, it's too bad it goes in a loss because, you know, it's one of the best goals you'll see. Chase Frazier on that. What's that move called, Dave? What do they got, like a behind-the-back, between-the-legs? Standard for Chase Frazier?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he busts that out. For some reason, especially if it's the Toronto Rock in the playoffs, Chase likes to bust those behind the back and between the legs goals out. So that's nothing new from Chase. You know, it's a fun way to, you know, kind of get one of those juice goals, they like to call it, and get the team going. And it was like you watch DeHogan Nanakoke, he puts his hands to his face, and it's like that one gif you always see on Twitter of those group of kids, like, you know, going nuts because their friend just did something really cool, and that one guy has his hands over his head. That's what DeHogan looked like behind the play as he saw that ball go in. Yeah, that's just Chase being Chase. He's very talented, and he has a great sensibility when to bust it out. He's not just doing it willy-nilly. He sees an opportunity to score, and that's why he can do that.
Saturday, 4:30. You got a pick? You feel good? Bandits get it done?
The optimist in me, or the homer in me, whatever you want to say, I'm hoping this goes like the Colorado series a couple years ago, where they came back from Denver after getting kind of trounced in Denver, and they went out and beat them 13-4 to clinch their first championship. I like to see it do the same, but I think this game's going to be a lot closer. But I think Buffalo eventually has the edge. You know, one line that's been kind of popular here is it's first team to 11 goals, and I kind of agree with that. So I expect it'll be like another 11-9, 11-10 game tomorrow in Buffalo.
All right. Dave Buchanan on the Western Hotline ahead of the Bandits game at KeyBank Center. Thanks, Dave.
Good talking to you, Jeremy. Have a good weekend.
All right. 4:30 Saturday. That game sold out. Sold out KeyBank Center in May. Memories. Not trying to take anything away from like the Bandits. I would imagine sometimes Bandits fans might get annoyed at hearing a Sabres fan be like, oh, I only wish we could really do that again. They're like, we're here doing it. It's happening. It's Saturday, May 24th. Oh, we're here in a sold-out building with a chance to, you know, have a really big game. But someday the Sabres again, we'll see. Bandits coverage on WGR begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. So, you know, gear up and pop it on. ESPN Plus, where you go to watch the stream the Bandits games. I've been doing that every time they're on in these playoffs. So ESPN Plus for that. Also, of course, you got your full boat this weekend in the NHL. Got a quick thought on the Sabres. I have a thought for a minute for it here. Yeah, we'll do it and maybe we'll dig into this a little bit later. Brendan Shanahan out with the Leafs. Should I not bring up his name as an idea? And let me tell you why I don't want to do it. Whenever we mention somebody, the idea lasts 24 hours and that person is gone. Did we talk about Michael Pekka yesterday? Pekka has accepted a job. He's going to be an assistant with the Blackhawks, so he's not going to join the Sabres staff or front office. So we mention a name like, hey, what about the Sabres grab so-and-so? And then by 4:15 today, actually, he's jumping on somewhere else. Shanahan will just join the Red Wings front office later today if we suggest he should join the Sabres.
I think the Islanders reached out to the Leafs and said, hey, can we talk to him? So.
Okay. Well, the Sabres? Isn't Brendan Shanahan a great idea? Isn't anybody like this a great idea?
I think he is. You know, like we say, it's hard to bring these ideas up without feeling like it's a pipe dream.
Well, one thing I wonder is, like, if the Sabres were to reach out and get in a room, could anybody kind of stage a coup? Could Terry Pegula be convinced he would work for me, but he doesn't want to work underneath Kevin Adams, so I'll just go ahead and give the reins to Brendan Shanahan. I mean, it's kind of hard to understand how things could happen given their structuring and how they work, but if you could get somebody that is accomplished, and Shanahan helped to take the Leafs from perennial nothing to powerhouse, if I could kind of say, regular season powerhouse. Right. Granted, the way they did that was with hold on, let me check. A bunch of high picks. You know, they did some free agency moves too.
I think it might be valuable just to get in a room and see what he says about your team.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't think you have a chance to get him.
Wouldn't a person, and I'm trying not to like take a shot at Kevin Adams here, who, you know, I think given resources this offseason could get this team to the playoffs with the right couple of moves, but wouldn't it be reasonable to think that a high-profile executive comes in and says, would do this with anybody, not even just with Kevin Adams, doesn't have to be a Kevin Adams point, would walk in and say, like, yeah, give the job to me. I'll get it done. Not, I advise someone else on how to get it done, but give the job to me. I'll do it.
I think that's kind of part of what he missed in Toronto a lot of the time was he always had somebody else. It was Lou, and then it was Dubas, and now it's been Tree. And I think he might want to really be president and GM or, like, just have an organization completely in his control, one owner unlike MLSE. I really like the idea. I think he could provide a lot of value.
803-0550. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, when we return. Get his thoughts on the Bills being on Hard Knocks and his project there, the 10 most important Bills of the future. 803-0550, if you'd like to join us. 1-888-550, Bandits game on ESPN+. Plus. Also, straight on ESPN2. Thank you, Brandon, for pointing that out. ESPN2, and of course, here on WGR.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.